Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a few Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson, Rob Ensley, and Joey Pyburn on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Lowrance, Weldcraft and Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson RV, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, and Ray Marine Electronics.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to the Outdoor Line of 710 ESPN Seattle, streaming live on MyNorthWest.com. Don't forget about the live video feed on 710Sports.com, and of course, the venerable TheOutdoorLine.com with blogs, merchandise. No more merchandise. Videos, though. We got videos. We got podcasts.
We'll get out of the merchandise business.
If you want an Outdoor Line t-shirt, go to the Everett Coho Derby. We have donated a pile of t-shirts there. So go swing on into the Everett Coho Derby and enter your Coho. And by the way, there's a $10,000 Coho swimming around somewhere in Puget Sound yesterday.
1,700 tickets sold so far for the Derby. Yeah, tickets are still, ticket sales are open until 8 o'clock this morning. You can still grab some at the last minute. But yeah, a lot of folks out on the Sound here this weekend in search of the Big Coho and the rivers too, for that matter. Reports that the Lower Snohomish and the Skykomish loaded with Coho. Same with the Skagit up on the north end there. So where's the big fish going to come from? Who knows? Salt water, the river, or whatever, but all are great bets this year. You know, many years over the last 10 years or so, we've had really warm weather, and the rivers, despite having a bunch of coho in them, good luck getting them to bite.
Yeah.
But they are snapping in these rivers, especially the Skagit and the Snohomish right now, because the temperatures are down, water's nice and cool. It's working.
I tell you what, we had a good rainfall in last weekend, and man, it just sucked up that salt water bite. It's just not like it was, right? But we found a batch of them yesterday. We had to run a little bit and got up in the northern part of Admiralty Inlet yesterday. And Joey got a tanker. Of course, it had a fin. You know, we let it go. So, but it was just like nothing had happened and then double. And then nothing had happened and then double. And then nothing. And so we were hoping to get on because we brought a whole bunch of bait and we were going to try to get the vertical program going. We could just never stay on top of them. It's like, you know, there was waves of them coming through, right? But I'm glad it was okay fishing in the possession point area yesterday and out in the shipping lanes and what. But I bet there's going to be a good bite today. I just really think so. But then tomorrow, you got this weather system coming in.
And that usually kills the bite.
Oh, it does.
It looks great today. We got some folks checking in on the text way. Thank you, by the way, 710-710. Checking in from CQ. Somebody else coming in from PA there. Sounds like folks are out chasing silvers out in the Strait of Juan de Fuca there, which, gosh, that should be good too. Boy, CQ's been on fire.
Even last
weekend with the big storm coming through. I know some folks that were out there catching some silvers out there. Pat Hoagland from Salmon and Steelhead Journal was out with Tony Floor. We're going to have Tony on the show, by the way, at 7 o'clock. Of course, he was the, what'd you call him, the curator of the Northwest Salmon Derby series. He was the face of the Northwest.
He was basically the director of the Northwest Salmon Derby series.
Yeah.
So public affairs, the Northwest.
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, as close as we're ever going to get to actually having a legitimate, you know, professional salmon fishing series here in the Northwest.
Yeah, no doubt.
Now, of course, it's over with now, but he's going to jump on and talk about kind of the history of the Salmon Derby series. And I think that today is the last Salmon Derby series event.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. So today and tomorrow, the Everett Coho Derby is going to be the last official Northwest Salmon Derby series event. And it's capped off by probably the best boat that they've ever popped out of there. Mm-hmm. And it's a Kingfisher, Yamaha Power, Raymarine Electronics, Bernouin Mounts, just decked out, right? This was the same boat that was going to be awarded last year. And, of course, you know, we all know what happened last year. So that boat is going to be given away tomorrow. So of all the folks that have fished the Derby Series, somebody's going to walk away with that. And that was the coolest thing about the Northwest Salmon Derby Series. Every year they gave away a boat, not just a boat, a dream boat for somebody.
Oh,
so,
for sure.
You know, and I hope, you know, it'll probably reincarnate in some other form. But we're going to kind of talk about, you know, exactly what you mentioned about, you know, the history of the thing, how it came to be, and what kind of happened to end it, and what we need to do to kind of bring more opportunity back here in the state.
Yeah, so 7 o'clock, Tony's going to jump on, but not Shortly after David Draper from Peterson's Hunting, he's going to jump on 625. He's the editor of Peterson's, and of course he's right on top of all the information. Any new gear coming out, he gets to test it all, and he's going to talk about maybe some of the new gear coming out here. And then this weekend, you know, we've got the youth waterfowl hunt here in Washington. Pheasant release sites open today. David's a big bird hunter as well. And I'm going to ping him a little bit about using decoys for big game, because Joey and I have some funny ideas on grabbing some decoys for some of those deer in Montana. Yeah, not only for entertainment.
Who does? Who?
For entertainment value, but...
Joe? No show Joe?
Yeah, Joe's not here. Joe's actually out on the youth. He's out on the youth waterfowl hunt this morning. He's going to jump on 725, actually, and from the duck blind somewhere up in, I think he's in Whatcom County or something. They got a bunch of kids out this morning. Yeah. And good for you, Joe. We're looking forward to talking to you at 725. And get those kids out hunting.
Joey does not miss shows, dude. You know, yeah, I mean, he's Johnny on the spot. So it's going to be fun to talk to him because, you know, that youth waterfowl, a lot of first hunts are going to happen today. And that's what's so cool about that youth opportunity. Last weekend, we had a youth opportunity for pheasants, too. And so, you know, it's important to have somebody's first experience of field be a positive one, right? And part of that positive experience is not having a lot of other pressure out there, not a lot of interactions with other people, just, you know, get out and enjoy the animals and being out in the field.
Yeah, for sure. We got word late yesterday afternoon that it kind of looks like we might get another extension on the Snohomish Skycomish system for cohos.
They actually did, WDFW did cut a reg.
Okay.
Out. Yes.
Okay, we were getting text messages and all kinds of stuff yesterday afternoon. And I was like, what's going on here?
So basically, there was another in-season update that provided enough information to let us know that, there are enough coho to extend the coho season in the Snohomish River for another week. So right now it's open until October 3rd, which is a week from tomorrow.
Outstanding.
And it is, there is a pile of coho. And you and I were talking a little bit about this yesterday, Robbo, the fact that, you know, we were hoping that the ocean would cut us a break this summer. And it truly, truly did. There was a good number of good size salmon, you know, Chinook, coho, pinks. And now they're all in the creek to, you know, do their thing, which is wonderful. And wrapped up in some of this good news is also the Pacific Salmon Commission's initiative to pump another 20 million Chinook smolts in local waters, ostensibly for southern resident killer whale prey availability. Now, but the numbers of Chinook that they're getting, the numbers of eggs they're getting is phenomenal. This is going to be one of the biggest egg take falls we've seen in, you know, for both the Wallace and a lot of other area.
I saw some of those numbers last night. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, tremendous, tremendous numbers of Chinook coming back, which is, you know, we needed that. Good deal. I mean, we've been kind of on a downturn for quite a while. So.
Yeah. Also, today's the last day to dig razor clams on the coast, just for this opener, at least. Then there's another tentative opening set for October 3rd through the 11th, a total of 62 digging days on the coast between now and the end of the year. So stay tuned this week, though. I guarantee there'll be another announcement this week opening up that next dig after tests prove that those clams are safe to eat. There's still a bunch of tag trout in these lakes here around Washington. The Trout Derby's open until the end of October, October 31st. And if you jump on the WDFW website and search the lakes that have been planted with those tag trout, you can actually see how many are left on there. And there's a bunch of lakes here in Western Washington that still have a bunch of those tag trout in them. Catch a trout with the tag, call the number, win a prize. So,
and check out Mark Uwas's blog on theoutdoorline.com. He wrote up a great article about this with links back to the lakes and everything and how to get involved with this. But yeah, there's still a great opportunity to get on these lakes. And what a lot of people don't realize is as we have kind of a cool down with regard to the weather, there's a real second period of activity that happens in a lot of these lakes that's almost spring-like. Increased bug hatches.
Oh, for
increased
sure.
Activity.
Yeah, the bite will be picking up over this next month. It'll get really going. Some of these holdovers are start biting again, 100%. Too. So, also, sturgeon opener today and again on the 29th on the Columbia. I know Joe's been pumping shrimp like crazy at Raised Baits, trying to keep up with that. But, a couple more sturgeon openers down there. I talked to Todd Daniels, Tall Tales Guide Service, about the Cowlitz silver fishery. Huge run forecast for the Cowlitz. Yeah, it's just getting going now down there. Still a bunch of kings in there. Of course, that's a catch and release program there. But they're getting a couple coos a day. And he thinks in this next week or two, it's going to just go nuts down there. Because the Columbia run, that Columbia silver run, biggest since 1938, And that's going to just translate right on into the Cowlitz as well. So big forecast, 156,000 coho forecast for the Cowlitz River. So,
you know, and cool. A lot of different ranges around here have hunter sight in stuff today. Today at the Seattle Rifle and Pistol Association in Machias, log on to srpa.org and get information to get there. The cool thing about going to a gun range and getting this done is there's going to be guys there that are really passionate about accuracy and safety, not necessarily in that order, right? And we'll get you set up and ready to go, particularly the kids out there. So, you know, get out and do it right. We're right here in the fall transition, man. Next Saturday is going to be October. You and Joey, I think, are heading for Montana on a little elk hunt.
Still working on that program until we leave. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But, yeah, we're kind of getting focused in on something in Montana. We're gonna take the archery gear back there, and hopefully they're screaming next week. The temperatures are cooling down. It's been really hot. Talking to some buddies in central Montana, like 80, low 80s, 75, you know, just really killing the whole elk program back there. But this next week it's cooling way down, and hopefully we'll get in there at just the right time, and they'll start screaming, and we go chase some elk around. Stay away from the fuzzy, wuzzy grizzly bears at the same time.
That'd be a good idea. 866-979-3776, locally 206-421-3776. That is the Reverse Shine Hotline, brought to our Wildcraft Duckworth Northwest Boat. 710-710's text toy powered by Yamaha Outboards. Let's load up that text toy, and in the meanwhile, we're going to jump out of here for a quick break. Give us 90 seconds. Let's talk about that fall transition from the saltwater to marshes, rivers, uplands, and hills, and you know, what that kind of means to us and what it should mean to you right here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
From the shining shores of Puget Sound to your radio, this is the Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Line. That's Rob Ensley, Matt Nelson behind the glass. I'm Tom Nelson, and Joey Pyburn is doing a really cool thing today. Today's the Waterfowl Youth Hunt Opener, and he's taking a couple first-time hunters out today to...
Fantastic.
Well, you think about it, and you think, okay, let's go duck hunting, not Joey. Joey's all about the sky pandas, dude. He's Canadian honkers for the kids. Yeah, really, really cool.
I think
cool.
They got some field picked out up there somewhere in Washington.
They do. Well, I mean,
some geese.
You and Joey both. I mean, you're talking about going to Montana. Well, you're not going to Montana without talking to your network, right?
Oh, yeah.
And Joey has beepity beep, 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 the waterfowl network up there. I mean, they got like radar.
Well, and the deal fell apart. They had some going in over by Carnation.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That fell apart because the neighbor harvested his corn and just scared all the geese out of there. And they're like, okay, now we got an audible, and he's on the phone working the whole program. And I think they're somewhere up there today. But and then, you know, I stopped in Half Lamb Brewing this week and got to check out their operation and stuff. And like, well, we're so-and-so, you know. Oh, he's at elk camp, you know. He's at elk camp to the end of the season. That ended Thursday, the early archery season. And
one of their brands is Elk Camp Kolsch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm definitely pretty looking good. Forward to that.
I wanted the meeting to start at like 8:30 or 9. We couldn't start drinking until 10:30. I'm like, dude, can we get in there a little early? I want to start drinking at like 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning. But, yeah, fantastic. That's lineup of brews down there.
Definitely the right type of business meeting.
We'll
right
be dragging
there.
Some of those to Montana with us for some victory libations, there hopefully, after we arrow an archery elk back there. But, yeah, on the local front, though, I mean, we're still looking at cohos here. We've been talking about cohos since I got home from Alaska, and this run is just not stopping. Talked to Gabe Miller down at Sport Co. I try to give Gabe a call once a week. Seems like I'm in the store a couple times a week. That store. It's like going to Costco.
It is.
You can't go to Costco without just buying half the stuff in the store at Sport Co. It's the same.
Kathy actually was thrilled that I got out of Costco for under $300.
Oh, jeez. You know?
Then I went and spent $500 at Harbor Marine.
But Sport Co. is the same way for me. They got everything in there. I bought some new Danner boots in there a couple weeks ago. Pretty sweet early season lightweight boots. But anyway, I was talking to Gabe. They've been catching some cohos down at Point Defiance at the slag pile every morning, sneaking out there, trolling around for a little while around the slag pile. There's not big numbers, but 1-2-3-Zs kind of stuff. And then between there and the Puyallup River, too, dragging the big flats in there and catching a few. And in the Puyallup, too, there's some cohos in there as well. So it's not just the north sound.
You know, and before the break, we mentioned that transition, you know, from salt and up into the rivers. And you know, the first thing you think of, obviously, is, you know, that this big wave of coho and how they're hitting the rivers, but also the techniques change so profoundly. I mean, and obviously there's a big switch from the salt to the fresh, but you know, when coho get kegged up in a hole, there's going to be a morning snap. There's going to be a little bite where they're actually going to take a twitch jig. They're going to take a crankbait, you know, but then the rest of the day, you probably got to, you know, swing small spoons, swing dick knights in there. and you know, just kind of do that program, you know, which, you know, you're lining them at that point. But
I don't know about that. I mean,
sometimes
that, that depends. It depends on what river you're in. But, you know, if you're in the Snohomish, there's so much traffic in there that that early morning bite is pretty critical. But you're going to get fish moving in and pushing into the river. And, you know, a lot of guys will run 10-foot leaders.
Yeah. There
for
you go.
Obvious reasons.
Right.
I always chose to run a 3 to 4 foot leader and make them bite, you know, and reel that dick knight all the way to the boat, swing it through, reel it all the way into the boat. And then throw in wiggle warts too. That's another good way to do it. You can troll those wiggle warts up river, back them all the way down through, and then troll them all the way back up through your fire tigers, purple, cerise, any of those colors work really good. And that works on the Skagit as well. And then casting them and reeling them in. Work in those big flats, because a lot of people anchor up in those big holes where the fish keg up. Fish those big flats if you're in your drift boat or in the jet boat or something, and just work your way through there. Drift on down, casting all over. It's almost like bass fishing. Run up and do it again. Another good program there. And twitch and jigs, you can do the same thing. Twitch and jigs, throwing spinners, big Vibraxes, number fours, number five Vibraxes. And don't shy away from the blues and the greens and the purples. Everybody wants to use the chartreuses and the bright pinks and the orange, all that big bright stuff, and that works just fine. But those colors, the blue metallic, green metallic, purple metallic, are money.
Especially later in the day.
Oh, man.
Just those muted colors. And, I mean, one of my favorite Dick Knight colors was, you know, they called it the Michael Jackson because it looked like his glove, right?
For sure.
So it's a black glove with, you know, mm-hmm. with sparkles on it, you know. And so that thing always worked great. You ever have much luck swinging eggs for them? You ever have much luck, you know, drifting
once they get
eggs?
Upriver.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I wouldn't have much luck downstream
right.
on the lower. It was always a hardware program, always. But once they got upriver and they got staged in the river, the egg thing, you could murder them side drifting eggs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Through
bobber fishing eggs, but usually we would side drift the flats up on the Skagit and get them.
What are you hearing from the coast? Because there was a little opportunity
on the Quileute.
Yeah,
I don't know. Here's how I gauged that one. I called Mike Z yesterday and Bill Meyer. Never got a phone call back, so I'm pretty sure it's good out there.
Yeah.
You know, we got a call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
866-979-3776, locally 206-421-3776. We got Richard from Kenmore on line one. Good morning, Richard.
Hey, Richard. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, welcome back, Robbo.
Thanks, man.
First of all, I wanted to say thanks for getting home safe so you can talk a little hunting this winter.
Oh, thanks. Yes, it's good to be home, man. The weather is absolutely horrid in southeast Alaska right now. They're just getting inundated with rain and wind up there. But nice to be home, buddy. What's going on for you this weekend, man?
I just wanted to call and wish everybody luck at the Everett Coho Derby today. Mm-hmm. Looks like it's going to be a really nice day to get everybody out. Not too much fog or wind like yesterday. And
yeah.
Kind of just wanted to wish everybody luck and fish deep.
Now, you're out on the Sound all the time chasing these fish. We got any tips for folks that are out there?
I've been running the standard OAL 12R squid with a purple ace high in it, mm-hmm. 40 inches a leader, and definitely need some meat on there, let it be squid or herring. Mm-hmm. Been doing decent, but not as good as everybody else this year. I think I'm taking it in the shorts a little bit from catching too many Chinook.
Karma. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, fish karma, definitely.
I know.
You know what we found yesterday, Richard, is we were monkeying around quite a bit with leader lengths. And for coho, try shortening that leader up to 2.5 flasher lengths. You know, 40 inches is a great Chinook length with regard to hoochies or even spoons. But, man, shorten that leader up. They like the whip. And then pick your speeds up, too. And I imagine you get them. I know you had a dynamite year on Chinook. And everybody did. I mean, and you know, so tell you what. Give us your picture of this year with regard to what you've seen in the past. And how was how has Puget Sound treated you this year, Richard?
I'd say the Chinook was outstanding from the forecasts that were given that we're supposed to be down a little bit. I really think the Chinook came in a little bit stronger than forecasted. They were a little bit smaller, but they definitely, I think they came in over, way over the forecast. And I think the pinks let everybody fill up their freezers with meat, and that's why I don't see it nearly as busy out here for coho this year than years past. So I'm not sure if people, you know, loaded their boat with pink salmon and not fishing that much or hitting the freshwater. But it's been just an outstanding year.
Yeah, I think so too, Richard. Well, thanks for the call, buddy, and we appreciate you listening.
Thanks, Richard. Thanks for checking in, buddy.
Have a great day, guys. Appreciate you.
All right, Richard. You take care, buddy. All right, we're going to pop out of here for a quick break. What's new in the field for the fall of 21? Dave Draper, Peterson's Hunting Magazine, joining us next here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Welcome to the BOMAC Tech Line. BOMAC has all the gear for all your techniques, and SMI Shellfish gear is simply the best. BOMAC, we catch big fish.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle, and we're actually going to have the founder and grand exalted poobah of BOMAC on the show next week. But old Bubba just agreed to come on in and do it. It's always going to be fun. Also, 710 powered by Yamaha Outboards. Asking about availability for those range days at the Seattle Rifle and Pistol Organization. That's today and tomorrow from 10 to 3. And log on to seattlerifle.org for more information and get on out there and get shooting straight this fall for sure. Also, they have a great trap range there too. Very, 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 very cool facility. Log on to petersonshunting.com. That's the website of our next guest, none other than Dave Draper of Peterson's Hunting. Good morning, David.
Morning, David. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, good morning, guys. How's everything out in your neck of the woods?
Oh, it's good. We saw the sun yesterday. It was a beautiful day here yesterday, and I think we even got sunshine today. And then the rain comes tomorrow back to normal again. But
it's only going to rain for the next 5 months.
Yeah, so we're
going to be okay.
Enjoy the day.
We got the youth waterfowl hunt going on here this weekend. I think we were talking about that a little bit. And then all the pheasant release sites open up here in western Washington here today. Lots going on here. I know you were out last week. I think you got an antelope with your muzzle loader. Seems like you're doing something fun every week there as the editor of Peterson's Hunting. What is on your radar for this next week, buddy?
Yeah, things are starting to crank up. It's definitely the time of year we all love. You know, the antelope season opened a week ago today, and I shot a nice antelope. And then today I'm going to process that antelope. He's been in the nice. He's been in the walk-in cooler for a week, so I'm going to work, get a little bloody with the knives today, mm-hmm. So that'll be fun. I enjoy that part of the process. And then I head to Texas on Tuesday for a little dove shoot and red fishing. Mm-hmm. And I was supposed to do that 2 weeks ago or 10 days ago or whenever, and Tropical Storm Nicholas decided to nix my plans on that. So, yeah, I was going down to Galveston, Corpus Christi area, and they got hit pretty good by that tropical storm. So,
oh, yeah.
I decided to stay in Nebraska where it was dry.
Yeah.
Still probably 70 mile an hour winds here at home, but it didn't have the rain.
Holy cow. Yeah, that's smoking winds. Now, were you using decoys on that antelope hunt? I see a lot of folks using decoys now for antelope.
I absolutely love decoying antelope, mm-hmm. and I had it with me. I have in the past. That's one of my favorite things about our muzzleloader season here in Nebraska. It kind of falls right at peak rut, and I'm doing it on private land in flat country, mm-hmm. open country where I can see forever, so I don't really feel like I'm, you know, in danger wearing all orange behind that decoy. Mm-hmm. But it's one of my favorite things to do. But last week, the buck just found himself in the wrong place at the right time for me, and I was able to put a sneak on him and not have to pop up the decoy.
And you were using an old like Hawkins style muzzle loader. You had to be within 100 yards of that thing. Were you pretty close?
Yeah, 96 yards. 100 is about my limit, especially with my aging eyes. But that's the old 54 Cabela's Hawk and 54 caliber, and I tell you what, it prints some impressive groups. I mean, better than I can shoot. It shoots so good.
Are you shooting sabots or balls, or what are you shooting out of that thing?
It's called a buffalo bullet, Great Plains, Hornaday Great Plains. It's 425 grains of lead.
So. On an antelope.
Lobbing them in, baby.
That antelope isn't going far.
Yeah, no kidding.
No, he went straight down. Mm-hmm. My goal, I've had that particular hawk, and I bought it right out of college, used from a buddy for like 100 or 120 bucks, I don't remember which, and I've killed so many antelope with it.
That's
and
cool.
A few deer, and I love killing elk with it someday.
But you'll that's one of those heirlooms you can never get rid of.
Yeah.
And I have a hard time, you know, getting rid of guns. There's kind of a memory behind each one of them. But when you're talking about decoy, and you're talking to an old duck hunter here, so you know, you say decoys to me, it you know, provokes a couple thoughts and a couple. But when you say big game decoys, what way do you use them that contrasts with the traditional use of a waterfowl or turkey decoy?
Yeah. So basically, what I'm doing with this decoy in the antelope rut is you're challenging that antelope as another. Mine is it's an old, like the rifle. It's 20 years old. It's called a Mel Dutton They don't even make them anymore. It's plastic. It folds in three pieces. You know, Montana Decoy makes some great fabric ones, but this old plastic one that folds in three pieces, the old Mel Dutton, it works great, and it's a buck. So it's kind of a subordinate buck, mm-hmm. Not very big horns on it, but it's basically challenging, you know, this time of year that the antelope are just running harems of does. So they'll get, you know, 12 to 15 does in a harem and chase off anything, kind of like a satellite bull with an elk. It's going to chase anything off. So you just want to get where he can see that. And I always say, like, out of five times that you get that decoy popped up on an antelope, one will work. The other four times, he's going to gather his ladies up and run to the horizon. But if you get in his wheelhouse and pop that up, I tell you what, it is the most – and bow hunters love it, obviously, because it's hard to get out within bow range of an antelope. And, man, they'll come on a string. You know, I've had most of them stop at, like, probably 60 to 100 yards to check you out, and that's enough for my muzzleloader, you know, because they get a little nervous. But I had one time I was actually holding the decoy for my girlfriend, Tess, and it was last light, and it was over this little ridge, and he came, and I thought he was going to run us over. I literally leaned back and threw the decoy over my head and was like, shoot him. He came. We figured out later he came to 14 yards and then veered off and stopped at 50. And
holy cow, you had a fight on your hands here.
I literally thought he was coming over the top of us because he came at a dead run as fast as he could. He was probably 150 when I put the decoy up, and he came to 14 when he curved off. I'm scared the crap out of me.
Now, we hunt some open country in Montana, you know, for mule deer back there, and we were thinking about bringing some decoys with it, like either a doe deke, maybe a couple doe deeks, or even like a cow or something we could hide behind, because they're I mean, you know, they'll see it from 600-700 yards away. Something that just, they just kind of like, okay, that's just a cow, you know, leave it alone. I mean, do you ever use any of that stuff?
I know a lot of guys are doing it with the cow decoy, and also a guy named Danny Ferris, I think I can't think of what his thing's called. They're a bow mounted decoy that mounts on the front of your bow and has a cut hole in it, and they've been using it on antelope, but they also sell some deer ones. Mm-hmm. And you kind of just kind of walk straight at a deer and it breaks up your silhouette. And I think they're having some success with it. I don't know that much about them, but they're pretty cool looking. So yeah, I think anytime you're hunting open country and you can break up your human silhouette, like just like on a, you know, a lot of times on a horse, you can get close to big game animals because they think it's a, you know, they don't have, what's the old line? They don't know how many legs a horse has when you get off your horse, you know?
Well, so. we'll be the canary in the coal mine for you here this winter. We're going to give it, like a zebra decoy or something. We'll march out there and see what happens.
Yeah, that might work.
they might be so curious. So, I mean, I did have a mule deer and a blizzard come to like 15 yards because he could just see me. It's like three seasons ago in the sandhills here in Nebraska. And he could just kind of see the top of my head in this blizzard. And he came from probably 200 on a direct march to me just because he was curious. And I shot him at probably 220 yards. So I think he had like a little deep doe decoy or something up. I think those big game animals, you know, they're curious like anything else, and they're social creatures. Most of them are all social creatures.
Oh, so. For sure. Last spring we had you were talking about the 6.8 Western, the new caliber from Browning. What's the word on the street now? Some time has passed. I mean, Joe and I, shot a couple nice bears up in Southeast Alaska with that new caliber. What are you hearing on the street, man?
Yeah, everyone that's using it's loving it. I used it in November. I think I told you guys last time I was on a mule deer here in Nebraska. I'm just in love with the cartridge. And from what I hear, like if you're trying to buy ammo, about the only ammo you can find on the shelf is 6.8 Western, because there's not a lot of people buying don't have them yet. So they're cranking out the ammo, and so on shelves, everybody I've talked to has been able to find 6.8 Western if you're looking for it, as opposed to 6.5 anything else. You know, 6.5 du jour is impossible to find right now. But the 6.8 Western, if you can get your hands on a rifle, then you'll find some ammo. Yeah. And I've talked to so many guys that are skeptical, like, why do we need another cartridge, you know, and they get that 6.8 Western and they're pretty impressed. I'm a big fan, and I'll be buying one. I think I told you that last spring. I just haven't sprung for it yet.
And that's a great point. We're talking with David Draper of Peterson's Hunting, and you know, why do we need another big game cartridge? And let me answer this. I mean, when I was a hunter coming up, I read Jack O'Connor. I got to meet Brad O'Connor. He was a friend of a WDFW biologist by the name of Russ Arell. And so I got to meet Brad and see some of Jack O'Connor's, you know, mounts and whatnot. And I read Jack O'Connor. So what did I do? I got a 270. Right, the
2.7, exactly.
You know, and so well, and but in that you see the, you know, the improvement of what that 2.70 was kind of the precursor of a flat shooting, lighter kicking round that now has enjoyed an evolution into the 6.5 PRCs and into the 6.5 Westerns. it used to be that you had to have a big game cartridge that killed in front and wounded behind. When I started shooting my 6.5 PRC, I was shocked, David, at the fact that it brought me back to my youth of plinking with a 22, where I could see bullet impact through the scope instead of getting knocked back and where I couldn't see it. And for a number of years, I was shooting a 300 Win Mag in a Browning A-bolt that it was absolutely a devastating cartridge, but it would rearrange your upper body every time you touched it off. Yep. And after a while of doing that, you know, you're not going to be as effective a hunter. So why the new cartridges? Because they're better. They're better out front, and they're a lot easier in behind.
Yeah, I'd agree 100%. I remember the first time I shot a 6.5 Creedmoor, and I wasn't actually long ago I killed an animal with it. You know, I was kind of I'm always late to the game. I like old stuff, so I was getting into the 25-06 when everybody else was getting into the 6.5 Creedmoor. But I remember I shot 6.5 Creedmoor the first time, and I was just like, oh, I get it now. It still probably wouldn't be my number one choice because I think that 6.8 Western is a little more versatile. You can step up to elk and other bigger creatures, but I do think there is some appeal. To people that are recoil averse, they want to watch the impact in the scope. I mean, anytime you're knocked off the scope, you got to fumble to find if you need a follow up shot, you got to fumble to find the animal, and you're usually dialed into 16 or whatever as far as you can go. And so you're trying to find that animal in the scope. And I agree. I think there's something to be said for this new cartridge revolution with the 27 Nosler and the 6.8 Western and the 6.5 PRC and the 300 PRC, which gives you a little bit more kick. But I won't discount the 300 Win Mag. Still one of my favorite cartridges of all time.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Anything else new out there on the street, man? I mean, you're right at the forefront of anything new coming out. Anything else we should be looking out for, buddy?
You know, what I thought we could talk about, or maybe I'll just throw out there, is We talk about all the guns and all the optics and all the big, cool stuff, but what about all those little accessories? And I'm always asking guys, like, hey, what's something cool that you're using that's really making your life easier? And something I got that I thought I'd tell you readers about, and I paid for this. This is not – I didn't get anything free. This is something I went out and saw and I bought, and it's called a Quick Stick. So I think I talked to you guys about how I love walking sticks now.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm getting old, and they help my knees, and they on the downhills are so much easier with walking sticks. But I also thought I could set a shooting sticks too. So I figured out, like, if you looped the loops on your walking sticks together, you can make a decent shooting sticks out of them. But these little quick sticks are like two little discs that mount on your walking sticks. One's a lug and one's a recess. And when you go to shoot, you just pop them together and twist, and it turns your hiking sticks into a decent shooting platform. And I just got them. Like, I came in the mail this week, and I mounted them, but I haven't even shot at them yet.
Quick sticks. I got to check that out. I've used that before. I've taken the straps on the handles of my trekking poles.
That's what I do.
And laid them across there and made a rest with that. But, yeah, that sounds interesting. I'll have to jump on online and check that out.
It's called Wiser Precision makes them. I think they must just mill them. Wiser Precision Quick Sticks. And, yeah, it's a pretty cool little system, and it's one of those things that's going to make my life easier. Because sometimes in the heat of the moment, you got to try to get those straps from those hiking sticks over each handle, and it's kind of a fumble. So this hopefully is going to make it quicker and easier. And then they make some other accessories where you can turn your walking sticks into a tripod with an extra leg, So I always like those little accessories that we all forget about, take for granted, but really make our lives in the woods so much easier.
So you're heading out waterfowl hunting this weekend for the youth opener here in Washington. Let's say you're here and you're with a bunch of kids. What are you throwing in those shotguns to knock some birds down, man? What kind of ammo are you going to throw in there? It's kind of a loaded question, literally, but
play on words. That was very good, Robbo.
Yes. I'm going to tell you what, I just got a case, another thing that I paid for, and I could probably call and get a box of ammo free, but I bought a case of Boss. I'm a 16-gauge guy.
Yeah.
We've talked about this in the past, and Boss is selling a 3.5 blend. Mm-hmm. Of their bismuth, and their fives are devastating. And I killed honkers with their fives last year, but I wanted something with a little more oomph on some of those bigger honkers. And so I'm going to try this new 3.5 blend from Boss. So that's what I'm stuffing in my 16 gauge. I don't think you can go wrong with that stuff. I didn't want to jump on the bandwagon, but it's pretty cool stuff.
You're a lot better shot than we are. I'm shooting a 3-inch number 3 Boss. I need a little extra oomph there. But we've used that 3.5 blend, man. It is definitely devastating. Well, thanks for jumping on, buddy. We've got to let you go. But have a great weekend here, and good luck dove hunting down in Texas, man. I look forward to seeing some pictures.
Thanks, man. Good luck to all your listeners, and good luck to you guys in the woods this fall. Thanks for having me on.
All right, buddy.
All right,
thanks,
David. Dave Draper, Peterson's Hunting, petersonshunting.com is the website. Lots of great information on that site. Coming up next, Raymarine Picks of the Week here for the last time in September. Boy, you come back, the weather goes south, but hey, here comes October. October is definitely the sportsman's month around here. What are we talking about? Going to tell you next. Here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Welcome to the Outdoor Line Picks of the Week, presented by Raymarine Electronics. Don't just go fishing, go hunting underwater. Raymarine, simply superior.
The name of the game is multifunction navigational displays. Raymarine Navigation puts you in command of speed and simplicity of our Lighthouse operating system. Check out the award-winning Axiom and much more at raymarine.com.
Ever Coho Derby weekend? Is it? I can't see outside from here. Light out, yeah. Folks aren't fishing yet.
So our buddy Mike Sertic just sent us a pic of them with the Everett waterfront disappearing in the background with just a little bit of gray light coming over the cast.
Perfect.
Yeah.
1,700 tickets sold for the Derby. Yeah. You can get a ticket till 8 o'clock. We're getting close here, but a bunch of folks out on the Sound, and there will be some good fishing to be had out there on the Sound here today for cohos as well as in the rivers. We got word last night that the Snohomish and Skykomish will get a one-week extension for a coho, and there's a bunch of silvers in that river system right now. Skagit's fishing good, too, up on the north end there. Also got a report from Gabe Miller yesterday. There's a few cohos down at Point Defiance at the slag pile there, so a little opportunity on the south end, and there's stuff in between.
Don't forget
about Redondo and Manchester, and I've heard reports from
Kingston. How could you forget about Redondo?
And Manchester. Do you know where Manchester
is? I do.
Is?
Yeah, okay. I went fishing with Bubba down in Tacoma back in June. And there's such a cool culture, and you know, and the Point Defiance boathouse and the boat lifts and all kind of stuff. Yeah. And everybody runs these smaller moochers because they fit, they're easy, and the water's super calm down there.
Yeah.
You know, we got a bunch of friends down there and everybody knows everybody, and there's the Uwasas, and there's, you know, and
they all got their coffee cup.
They do.
At the boathouse.
And they got their meat rods.
Oh yeah.
For Chinook.
Yeah.
And those things just blow my mind.
You just love meat rods.
No, I'm out.
No, you're not.
I'm so out. Yeah, yeah. On meat rods. But I understand it and I respect it.
Yeah, for sure.
Leave it there. So.
Quileute's open out on the coast. I think that was last week we got word that was going to open the coast, pouring into the Quileute system on that Forks area and the Sawduck as well. That's some good news. And then, you know, we're still kind of waiting for the callus to kick off down there. I talked to Todd Daniels, Tall Tales Guide Service, yesterday. He's headed down there today to kind of get going on the coho program down on the Cowlitz River. Huge forecast for the cowlitz, and it should come through. All the other coho runs are coming through. I fully expect that one to come through on the forecast. 156,000 coho forecast to come in there. He said the last time that happened was like 2014. They were catching coho all the way up into December. Fish and steelhead, they're getting limits of coho in early December, chrome bright coho. So that's a big boon to Southwest Washington right there.
100%.
Having that big run coming in. It's just starting to go right now. He thinks this next week it's going to start picking up steam down there, but that's on the radar screen for sure. The Trout Derby still going on statewide through October 31st. Jump on the website. They got a list of all the lakes they put tagged trout in. Jump on the nearest lake that's nearest to you, and then get on the website and go find local lake and search that lake, and it'll tell you how many tagged trout are left in those lakes. There's a ton of them.
Yeah.
I want to say only like half of them have been caught, so a little bonus to getting out and getting some of these holdover trout here this fall. And the bite's going to be coming on with this cool
100%
weather.
Because, you know, when we have a long, hot summer, dry summer like we had, those lakes warm up and you just kind of get out of the activity period that, you know, the water's too warm, doesn't hold enough oxygen. As we start getting these cool nights, those lakes cool down, you get a couple bug hatches, and before you know it, you got great fish, and there's nobody on these lakes.
Oh, no, they're empty.
A lot of elbow room.
Yeah, razor clams. Today's the last day for this current dig right now. The next one is October 3rd through the 11th. They'll be I think they've already got the clams at the lab being tested. But so far, everything's been showing really low levels of toxins on the coast. So I fully expect that next dig to go off. Ton of digging days scheduled between now and the end of the year.
I can't wait to sit down to a razor clam.
Oh, man. Is that good
amazing.
Or what?
Amazing.
And the limit's been bumped up from 15 to 20. There's an absolute ton of razor clams on the coast. So if you want something fun to do with the kids or deck with the kids, just run out there by yourself or whatever. That razor clam thing is fun.
It's
a kick.
If you don't yearly go to the Washington coast and see what an amazing, I mean, and you can see as far as you can see, north and south, there's people out there digging and everything. So, yeah, it's a kick.
Today's the pheasant opener here on the release sites in Western Washington. Beautiful weather for that today. Also, the youth duck hunt, we've been talking about that a little bit here today and tomorrow, and that's where Joe Pyburn is. His chair is empty over there this morning because he's in a blind up there. He's probably setting decoys and getting the blind brushed up right now. I think they're in Whatcom County up on the north end, but regardless, they've got a couple of youth out here this morning getting the kids out and getting on some ducks, maybe even some geese, but that's going on here. And then we've got a sturgeon day today and another one on Wednesday down the Columbia.
Tomorrow's the last halibut day, okay, barring another update with regard to the quota. So, and there's been some nice halibut being taken out of CQ in particular. And then also, don't forget, this week you got to get your Dungeness crab catch record cards in.
That's right, October 1st.
October 1st.
Is the deadline for that.
October 1st. And so you got basically through this week to get those in. And it's crucial to get those in because they got to figure out the quota. And word on the street is there probably is going to be room for a winter season that maybe, you know, Halloween through the end of the year, you know, something like that. A little winter crab is always really, really great. 710-710 powered by Yamaha Outboards. From the 253, is this coho run going to last through mid to the end of October in Marine Area 10? Opinions? Heck yes. Heck yes. And you know, our friend Nick Kester, he works this fishery harder than just about anybody I know, and he will definitely work Marine Area 10 through October. Area 9 closes actually on Friday. So it's open through September the 30th, but then on October 1st it closes, and probably does so until July 16th next year. So
archery elk ended on Thursday, and muzzleloaders hit the woods on October 2nd, which is a pretty good window right there. They're going to still be screaming and running around doing their thing. At least the first few days of that muzzleloader season, it's October 2nd through the 8th. It's pretty good. It was getting pushed back there a little bit for a while. It was getting to be like October 7th, 8th, 9th, something like that, and it got bumped back. I think last year it got bumped back again, which is good news for muzzleloaders that are out in the woods here coming up. So
also, you know, got some early word from you know, the Okanagan with regard to fawn numbers and whatnot, and even though there was an uptick in pressure and harvest last year, they're still expecting a pretty solid season in the Okanagan for muleys. Whitetails are doing good down in the river valleys too. So and elk numbers, you know, up and down, but the one event that's going to echo through hunting season this year is obviously the whole bunch of fires that we had, you know, and it's surprising because WDFW came out and was saying, hey, listen, you want your points back, you get dropped for something, you know, and typically that's a tough deal to accomplish is getting points back once you get drawn for something. But this year they recognize the profound impact these fires had on a lot of guys' hunts.
Yeah, you definitely want to jump online and check out the fire map before you head out and see if your camp was torched here in this horrible fire season we just had. And that dry weather, I mean, you guys had a really hot, dry summer here, and that translated all up and down, up into BC, even into interior of Alaska. And that may have affected the waterfowl numbers a little bit too. Hearing some stuff out of the from the counts that were done up in Alaska and BC, and they were definitely seeing an impact on the waterfowl numbers. Now we're coming off 50-year highs,
right?
You know, we've had just incredible numbers of waterfowl here the last 5-10 years, but I would expect to see a few less coming through here this year, and they've been consolidated. Like I was talking to Shelby Ross yesterday over in Eastern Washington, with the incredibly hot summer, a lot of the waterfowl has been consolidated to the big reservoirs, like Potholes, Banks Lake. Some of the big reservoirs over there are kind of holding more birds than they normally do, especially the local birds, because there just isn't the little puddles and the water all over the place to hold the birds. So
we got a jam-packed hour or two. Our dear friend Tony, the Truth Floor of the Northwest Salmon Derby Series, he's jumping in. The last Northwest Salmon Derby Series boat will be awarded tomorrow at the Everett Coho Derby. The Northwest Outdoor Report, presented by Half Line Brewing. The Weldcraft Duckworth Wheelhouse. We're going to have Joey Pyburn going to jump in, talking about that youth hunt. Roy Robinson RV's really wearing a whole pile more. I'll be right back here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.